Hello and welcome to the next episode of Code and Beyond, a podcast where we talk about software development and anything beyond that. Today, we are going to continue talking about productivity tools. My name is Pablo and I'm here with my friend Alex. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Pablo.
In the previous episode, we discussed note-taking tools, possible ways of notes organization, task management, and planning. In this episode, we are going to talk about focus time. But before that, let's go through the highlights.
Yeah, go ahead.
So this week I have one, which is an article I read in internet, which is called Working from Orbit. And it's about using VR to code, to do your coding daily work. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I never was into, I'm not into VR system headsets. I always thought that this was for kids playing video games.
Just for fun, right?
Yeah, just for fun. But this article really changed my perception because this person is talking about how he works. He has been working for, I think, 2.5 years using the VR headset, using this VR environment to write code on a daily basis. And if you read through the article, he's super happy and super productive. Yeah, it opens a whole new world of possibilities, right? So you can use a headset and get rid of all your screens, which sounds crazy.
It sounds like Ready Player One. I cannot stop thinking about this. It's of course it's the very first step. It's very primitive, very far from Oasis described in this novel.
Yeah,
but it's just the first step, and it's the matter of support from other players on this market to make it real Oasis experience.
I'm really curious now, and I think I'm gonna give it a try because the thing that really surprised me is that he doesn't use any crazy IDE specific for VR or anything like that. He's using Vim, and he's using normal tools for communication like Slack or Gmail and everything. The main difference that is that he has a virtual reality where he plays everything in there. And yeah, you can have huge screens, you can have huge desktops and everything. And it's like headset, keyboard, mouse, ready to go.
Sounds amazing, yeah.
And the article is really well written, thorough, and he shows how his setup is and how it works for him. So yeah, I highly recommend this article. I really like it. So if you have time, it's a long one. If you have time, yeah, read through it.
Because this might change your life.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't tried the setup yet, but
I see you excited. So maybe you will give it a...
I am excited. It's like I'm really willing to give it a try and see how it goes.
Christmas is coming. Maybe prices will drop, or maybe new headsets will be released or something like
this. Yeah, yeah. Worst case scenario, you end up with a new toy in a box. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go back to our productivity topics. Yeah, as I mentioned, this week is going to be about focus time. What do we understand by focus time? So for me, focus time is the time I'm working on the tasks that I'm supposed to be working on, and I'm not distracted with other things, and I'm not switching context all the time. I think that's the definition that kind of works for me. How about you, Alex? Do you have
it's the same, basically.
Usually in the afternoons, I struggle to keep focus on one thing because I start to get tired and I start to think, my brain is dispersed. I don't know. So I try to trick my mind, and I use mainly one tool for that, which is the Pomodoro technique, which I think we already talked about it. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's Pomodoro technique divides your time in chunks of usually 25 minutes, and you run a clock for those 25 minutes, an alarm clock. And the idea is that you have to try to be focused during those 25 minutes, and then you have 5 minutes of rest. That's because, I guess, theory says that that's the maximum time that the brain can be focused, or at least the average for for people, I guess. Yeah, depends on persons, right? Some people can be focused for hours, other people cannot maintain a focus for more than 10 minutes, but apparently 25 minutes is a good average number. So after those 25 minutes, you should have a break because, yeah, in order to keep focus.
Yeah, just to give time brain to relax a little bit.
Yeah, brain is like, let's think about the brain as a muscle. So if you're using your muscle for a long period of time, at some point you need to stop and the muscle needs to recover. I think it's more or less the same for the brain.
Yeah.
After a chunk of work, it needs to relax and recover.
Yeah, and sit a little bit on Twitter or Facebook.
I guess that's not ideal because Twitter or Facebook tend to drag your attention and your focus quite a lot, so you can derail from your main task. So ideally, what I read is that those 5 minutes break should be like go to the toilet, walk around your house, pet your dog, I don't know, have a quick chat with your partner, something like that. So if you're working in front of the computer, it's better to get away from it.
Yeah, maybe stretch a little bit, move around. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Then this technique also has another long break, which should be performed after 4 chunks of work.
Mm-hmm.
So you work for in periods of 25 minutes, rest 5 minutes, you repeat for 4 times, and in the 4th one, you get a 25 minutes break. Apparently, you're after 2 hours of work, on and off work, your brain is going to be really tired, so it deserves a long break. So that's the general idea with the Pomodoro technique. There are more things like the tracking sheet where you track distractions and things like that that helps you to improve your focus. But you can go to the main Pomodoro website or book and read about the technique. But that's the general idea. And that's the technique that I have been using for ages. I think I already mentioned that I'm not using Pomodoros all the time because sometimes, I don't know, I wake up, I'm super fresh, I'm already focused, so I keep going, I don't use Pomodoros. I tend to use Pomodoros when I know that I have to do something and I'm feeling that I'm not focused. So it helps me to start and to continue and to... Yeah, sometimes to even track the time that I'm spending on a task so I can decide whether or not to continue with it.
Do you think it works as a trigger for your brain? I'm in Pomodoro mode now, so mm-hmm. And this is trigger to set the brain in the focus mode, basically.
Yeah, totally works for me. So I've been using Pomodoro for years, so it's already wired to my brain. So I start a Pomodoro, I know that I have to be focused, and yeah, it really helps. That perception is like, it's only 25 minutes, right? So I should be able to be focused for 25 minutes and then reevaluate. That really helps me. That mindset really helps me to focus on one thing.
Is it easy for you to continue with the next 4 sessions after this long break of 20, 25 minutes?
Yeah, you're right. It's tricky because sometimes you just totally lose the track of the thing that you were working on. One approach that I have to this is I try to pair this 25 minutes rest with some real life rest. Like I like to eat something in the middle of the morning. So I try to adjust my schedule so this 25 minutes break matches with my, it's not lunch, but my quick food.
So it's a treat, like a real treat for you.
Yeah, it's like a real treat. And then the next one, I try to match it with my lunchtime and so on. It doesn't work all the time, as you can imagine, but that's the idea. And the other thing I use to focus, which I pair with the Pomodoro, is it's not white noise, natural noise, let's call it like that. So mm-hmm. Sounds of a forest or ocean, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So I put my headphones, set one of these
noise generators.
Yeah, noise generators and start the Pomodoro. It helps me to get isolated from the outside. I don't have a lot of noise in my office, but still, as you mentioned, it's one of those triggers, right? Mm-hmm. Music start as focus time, it helps.
Have you tried just to listen to these noises or to these sounds without actually setting timer, or does it work as a trigger as well?
Haven't tried. I've never tried.
Tried the sounds of nature doesn't work for me. It works as a distraction a lot,
mm-hmm.
but some music with no vocal, just the music, like slow and calm music, that works the best for me. Mm-hmm. And recently I noticed that when I just turn on this music, it already switches my brain to focus mode. And then that's amazing. And in this case, the problem is that when there is just music and no timer, I could work more than this 25 minutes. And then in the end,
yeah,
I kind of overwork. So then the brain is overstressed and then I cannot continue.
Yeah,
that's why timer is helpful in this case. Timer helps me to, okay, now I deserve a break.
Yeah.
Could you name any downsides of using Pomodoro specifically when you work on the code?
Yeah, the breaks, right? Sometimes you are focused and 25 minute alarm rings and it's like, right now I'm in the middle of something, I don't really want to stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I currently like the tool that I'm using, which is called Sessions, because it rings, you see a pop-up, and you have a one button to click on, just continue for another 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can quickly remove the alarm and go back to the task that you're working on. And then you get another pop-up in 5 or in 10 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like that it doesn't increase the... Because some tools increase the rest time.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, it doesn't. You only get the 5 minutes still. The good thing is like you get the first alarm and you know that time is gone. So you should start to think about stopping and having mm-hmm. your rest.
Mm-hmm.
So you start to wrap up to be able to stop. It lets you to continue until you're in a state that, where you can stop. That's the main problem I have with Pomodoro technique. Like sometimes 25 minutes is not enough.
Yeah.
I know some people tweak the technique, so they go with 45 minute Pomodoros or probably even an hour. I don't know.
But still, it's fixed chunks. And sometimes you need maybe 1/3 of the next one.
Yeah.
Whatever length the one chunk is. So
yeah,
that's why I like this method that you suggested me some time ago, that you set a timer and you work as much as you would like to work. So it's up to mm-hmm. you in this case to control when to stop. And this tool measures time. And then when you stop, so you stop the timer and the time for your rest is calculated in percentage of the time that you spend on work. Let's say it's up to you to decide this percentage. But let's say you deserve 20% of your work time to have a rest. And then it's more flexible. It could change basically each session. It also covers, in this case, your different like a physical state. Like today, I don't know, you're tired because yesterday was super stressful day. Or other way around, you feel super energized, right? You could have longer chunks. I was using this for quite some time and it was successful. I don't remember why I stopped it.
I think that's flow, right? A different approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also use it for some time and I like it, but the problem I had with that one is that I'm usually much better, my focus is much better when I start the day. So the first focus session were super long, which means also the resting time was long and I was losing focus on those long rest times.
Mm. Okay.
And then it was difficult to me to go back after the long breaks.
Yeah, that's the problem all the time with these breaks.
Yeah.
You know how to fix it.
So as always, the techniques are not perfect, right? They are frameworks and you need to adjust them to your needs.
Yeah, I guess they just to give you direction, to give you some hints and ideas how this could be done, but they need adjustment. All of them, I think they need adjustment mm-hmm. for you, right? You have to somehow tweak them that they work for you. Maybe use just the core idea, or maybe use the full list of techniques that the framework provides.
Yeah, I remember I started to use Pomodoro in the university days, and for studying was awesome.
Yeah,
and following the technique by the book was perfect, because when you're studying, you can stop on the line that you're reading, mark it, go for a walk, whatever. Come back and really stick to the pure technique, and it really works.
Wasn't it invented even specifically for studying?
Could be.
Or maybe it was inspired by the process of studying and struggling with it, like struggling with being focused while studying something.
Could be. I don't remember. I read the book long, long time ago, so I don't remember. But yeah, I remember following the technique by the book. I even printed the sheets that they deliver, and everything I was using the, I think I even bought the Pomodoro timer, the official one.
Which looked like Pomodoro, right? Like tomato.
Yeah, which looked like a Pomodoro, yeah. And yeah, it really worked for me and it was perfect. But for working, coding, things like that, yeah, slightly different. It's also, you know, in a working environment, it's easier to get distracted or interrupted. You get a call from someone that you need to answer, or you have something that you have to do no matter what. So then the technique just falls apart.
Do you still estimate tasks upfront, like how many Pomodoros they could take? This I remember you were saying that you at least tried to do this kind of estimation.
I do it from time to time, not all the time. I still do it for long tasks. So something that I don't know how long it's going to take, I give estimations mainly because it works like a time box for me. So I said, okay, this task, I have no idea how to tackle it and I have no idea how long it's going to take. Let's give it 4 Pomodoros. If after 4 Pomodoros, I'm going nowhere, I need to reevaluate, things like that.
This, the whole Pomodoro and time boxing reminded me a story about Sherlock Holmes, the original book, not all the series and stuff. Sherlock Holmes was also using time boxing. So he was estimating cases, the complexity of the case in pipes, like he was smoking pipe. And he was saying, let's say this case would take me, I don't know, 3 pipes. It means he was, when he was thinking about a case and solution, right, he was analyzing the case, he was smoking pipes, and the one pipe, I don't know how much time it is, but let's say it's the same 25 minutes. So, and then he was saying, oh, this case would probably take me 3 pipes to solve. And I think he was like, these pipes, they were not usual pipes. Back in the day, it was something like drugs throw inside or something like special magical pipes. Because back in the days, it was allowed.
So after 3 pipes, you're slower. So you have to take that into account.
Yeah, maybe like maybe it doesn't work for you if you're Sherlock Holmes. I don't know. It was helping him, that's for sure.
That's why they switched to Pomodoros, right? They're healthier.
Yeah, you could last longer in this case, right?
Yeah.
So, and if Pomodoro in general, the whole technique is about time boxing, so dedicating some time slots, and the focus is also about time tracking. I know that some people, they track how much time each task takes to then later optimize this by analyzing. So let's say maybe quite common these days, people who work remotely, they have lots of meetings, and meetings could be sometimes distracting. So they try to optimize this. And one way to optimize anything is to actually analyze first, right? How much time it takes. So let's say you could calculate how much time you spend on meetings during the week, or how much time you spend on pull request reviews. And then you could somehow balance this. But in order to calculate, you need to measure it first. So it's really, really precise already and could be too crazy for someone. Have you ever tried something like this?
Not really. Because, yeah, I think it's a bit too much. What I try was to identify chunks of the same type of work. So you mentioned, for example, PR reviews. I found out that if I group them, it's easier to me to keep focus. Yeah, again, you keep focusing one thing, right? You are in reviewing mode. So if you have 3 or 4 PRs to review, it's better to, for me at least, it's better to group them in one chunk of work. So 2-3 Pomodoros to review PRs. But time tracking to detail is not something that I have experimented with. Mainly because I don't have the issue yet, right? So I guess you start to really measure and keep attention to details when you are really struggling with your time. You have too many things and you're not able to focus, or you're not able to prioritize. But I'm not there. So I think I can relax about it.
I did it once. It was 2 years ago. So you're totally right. So I spotted that my week is too fragmented. I do too many things and it's really hard to focus. So it felt that I'm kind of working all the time, but have not that many results, or at least my expectations are much higher than the actual results. And then I thought, maybe I'm just spending time on something else. And then I decided to optimize it and measure first. So I decided to measure how much time, not up to a minute, of course, but more or less measure time on these things which are important. Let's say just coding work, right? I didn't focus on specific parts of coding work, just coding. then meetings, then reading. And then later I also split this reading on what exactly I was doing by reading. So email, that's one part, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You know, dealing with emails, reading them, answering them, and so on. And then reading something on the internet, Twitter included, and some research and this kind of reading. In order to measure this, I invented a system. I built a tool, kind of. So I bought an IKEA a huge cutting mat, and I was using this as a mouse pad. On the corner mm-hmm. of this, I put sticky RFC labels.
Mm-hmm.
I think almost every smartphone today is capable of recognizing NFC. Did I say yeah. RFC?
RFC, you said RFC.
And I also bought an app which is specifically, I don't remember the name already, but the app was specifically built for time tracking. And the app was also capable of connecting this task with RFC labels. So in order to automate this, I was just moving my phone. So let's say I would like to start dealing with emails, and I know which label, which RFC label is responsible for this. I was just moving my phone over this label. So the app was recognizing it and was starting a timer. And when I need to switch to another task, I was moving to another label. And
that's really cool.
The only tricky part with this, or annoying part with this, is that I had to unlock my phone all the time. So it wasn't just moving, it was move, unlock, see the app is actually switching to another task. And then in the end of the day, I was able to see how much time I spent on each task.
Nice.
That was working. So I was using this for a month or so just to collect some data. And then I was able to actually optimize my day and dedicate some chunks. So optimize these fragmented days that I had. So the app helped for sure. And I was mm-hmm. totally satisfied, but it was too crazy to use it for a longer time. It was just for this,
yeah,
just to collect some data and that's it.
Yeah.
So that how crazy I went.
that's nice. That's a nice side project.
Yeah. No, I didn't come up with the idea of NFC and RFC right away.
Yeah.
Is it RFC? Like this label that you also have them in the shop. Like
I know what you mean, but I don't know how they are called.
They're not RFCs. They're RFIDs.
Okay, fine. Yeah, because RFCs is request for comments, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm not going to edit this later. So everyone has to listen till this moment. So yes, it was NFC on the phone, so near field communication module on the smartphone, mm-hmm. plus these RFIDs on my cutting mat, which was huge enough to use as a mouse pad as well. So it was enough space for mouse and smartphone on top of it. Yeah, that was my time tracking experiment. I know that sometimes when you work as a freelancer, you have to track time because your employer, they require you to file time sometimes up to a minute, right? How much time you spent on each task.
Yeah.
So this app was also suitable for this kind of needs.
Yeah.
We'll provide a link later. It was a really good app.
I recently discovered that Google Calendar now, they added something on the left, like a new panel,
mm-hmm.
where it tells you the amount of time you spend on meetings during the day. I haven't checked if you can break it down on the type of the meetings,
mm-hmm.
but they already recognize that they are meetings probably because of the title or something like that. So you can see the added time in there. So the total time that you spend on meetings during the week.
Do you optimize somehow this meetings time? Let's say you move meetings the first half of the day. So before noon, you do all the meetings, and then afternoon, you have just focus time or time for something else.
So I tend to try to agree with the team on moving all the main meetings to one day. So right now, for example, we do most of them on Monday morning, planning mm-hmm. and things like that. So then after that, you have a clear picture of what needs to be done the rest of the week, and you can focus, and we try to reduce the number of meetings during the week. I think that's a team effort, right? It's difficult to do it on your own. You have to agree with the rest of your team and group in the meetings and try to reduce the number of them to the bare minimum.
So just one meeting on Monday and no meetings during the week?
Yeah, we have more than that, but we try to group them on Monday morning.
That's really nice.
And I know people that do it the other way around. They try to group on Fridays and things like that. It's always meetings that fall in a different day because,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, every couple of weeks, maybe you have a retro, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it makes much sense to have the retro right after the planning because then it's already too much and you start the retro being tired. Yeah. So it's better to move it to a different spot. So meetings planning is also a tricky topic, isn't it?
Yes. And the more people you have, the harder it gets, right?
Yeah.
To find a spot where, I don't know, when it's more than two people, it's already super problematic sometimes, especially if you have people in different time zones.
Oh, yeah.
But that's already another story, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not the manager right now. Usually for developers, it's slightly easier because people assume that you need time to do focus work. So they tend to respect your time a bit more. But when you're in a manager position, it's like part of your work is, or a big chunk of your work is having meetings and deal with people, agree on things, planning and stuff like that. So yeah, I guess it's even worse.
It just works.
Different type of work, but
yeah. So if we summarize, I could say that it's beneficial to have focus time. It's up to everyone to decide how much time is it each day. There are some tools and techniques which might help with this, switching brain to focus mode in a way that you're not exhausted in the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
One of them could be Pomodoro. At least this is one of the famous ones, right?
Or the one I have experience with. I don't know about others.
There are also other options for time boxing, right? You could start just with calendar. If you don't have much on calendar, could also work. So you just put time slots on calendar, label them somehow, and here you go. It works with alarms and notifications and everything. Also, if you have a situation when your day or week is broken, right? It has too many things to do and it's fragmented. So in order to defragment it, it might be necessary sometimes to measure exactly how much time you spend on each type of activity. And then maybe you shuffle them, reorganize somehow, maybe reduce something, increase another type of activity. In order to be productive, it makes sense to develop this habit of switching to focus mode and have no distraction. Then you could achieve more with less stress for yourself.
One thing I forgot to mention is another practice that I've been doing for the last year or so, which is a meditation. I usually meditate before work in the morning and then after lunch, at least two sessions. It really helps me to recover focus and be more relaxed. Yeah, more focus. So it's something that I've been experimenting with. And it's working nice for me.
Do you use special tools? I mean, there are some apps or some web services.
Yeah, I'm using Headspace,
mm-hmm.
which is one of these apps that helps you. You have a person that leads the sessions and they have a different type of meditation sessions and they are divided in kind of topics. You have meditation sessions that are specific for focus, that are specific for stress situations, and are specific for, I don't know, different types of stuff. They also have a section for music, like this focus music, as you mentioned, like music without lyrics.
Yeah,
it's usually better for focus because I don't know you, but for me, if I have lyrics, I usually tend to pay attention to the lyrics and then focus is gone.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, that's the tool that I'm using right now, but I know it's plenty of them out there. So yeah, those are my tools for focusing, right? Meditation, Pomodoro, and that's pretty much it.
And discipline. Nothing works without discipline.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. And sometimes don't be too hard on yourself because things fall apart from time to time and it's totally fine. I don't do, I already mentioned this at the very beginning, I don't do Pomodoros all the time. And I even stopped doing Pomodoros on purpose from time to time to be more relaxed about everything. So sometimes I do, okay, today is Friday, I'm not going to run any single Pomodoro. I'm going to go with the flow, and if I'm a bit less productive, it's fine. And that really helps to recover my brain and my sanity.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for today. Thank you for listening. In case of any questions, simply send us an email. You will find our address in the show notes. Keep being amazing. Bye.
Bye.